Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Vince Battaglia, founder of the TradeShowCalendar.com, with a career spanning 35 years in the trade show industry.
Well, 30 years ago, I started in the trade show industry. My first job was at the Sands Expo, working at this big empty building in Las Vegas. And our first show, the major show in the building, was Comdex, the largest show in the country at that time. And I watched this city being built over 4 days. And I said, this is absolutely fantastic. This is exactly what I want to do.
Vince Battaglia produces and maintains online, private labeled, global and national trade show directories for dozens of suppliers, associations and media groups in the exhibition industry. His career in the trade show industry began 35 years ago at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. And since then, he has had several sales positions for Octanom, Cort Trade Show Furnishings, B-Matrix and TWI Logistics. Now, on to this insightful episode with Vince Battaglia. Vince, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. It has been a while since we have been trying to get together, and finally we made it. Welcome.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Let's start with what made you start a trade show calendar, and where did it all begin?
It began 30 years ago. I started in the trade show industry. My first job was at the Sands Expo, working at this big empty building in Las Vegas. And our first show, the major show in the building, was Comdex, the largest show in the country at that time.
Yeah.
And I watched this city being built over 4 days. And I said, this is absolutely fantastic. This is exactly what I want to do. So 30 years later, I'm still in the trade show industry, and I've always been working with suppliers to the industry for the most part. After the Sands Expo, I worked with display companies, building supply companies, furniture companies, freight companies, that kind of thing. So always in sales. I found I was better at sales than the detail of the operational aspects of our business. And there are some very great people out there that do it, but that's not my specialty. So selling is what I did. And about 20 years ago, I was working with an international freight forwarding company. And one of the tasks I had was to find out, Vince, who should we be talking with? Who should we be targeting? And there were some calendars online, but I found that they were not really that comprehensive or accurate. So I started building my own for my own purposes. Mm-hmm. And as I've gone through my career, working for different companies, I found that every single company needed this same information. What shows are out there, especially the international ones? What shows are out there? Where are exhibitors going? What could we be selling to? So that's why I started developing calendar for myself. But since I found out that all of these companies needed the information as well, I started putting online. And then I started private labeling it for companies, because companies not only need this for their sales force, they also need it for their customers. Their customers, it's valuable information for their customers, because their exhibiting customers are looking for additional exhibiting opportunities as well. So they put this on their websites as content marketing to, yes, my valued customer, I'm providing this information to you, but that's why they put it on their websites. And obviously, I was a salesman, so I used it as well. That's how I got started.
Interesting. So how many did you start listing 20 years back, and how many are you listing today?
We have about 100 companies that have it on their website, and it's grown beyond just the exhibit suppliers. Exhibit builders are still the main users of the online calendars, but it's grown beyond that. And I started working maybe 7-8 years ago with IAEE. You said you spoke with Marcia recently on your podcast. I started working with them, and then the other associations, primarily in the United States, followed suit. I work with ESCA, which is a Service Contractors Association, and EDPA, which is Exhibit Designers and Producers, and several other associations. I also started working with media groups. So I now produce, I don't know if you know Danica, but Danica Tormolin with TSNN, I produce their calendar. I produce it for Exhibit City News. My latest calendar is for Exhibition News in the UK for Mash Media. And I'm really excited about that one because that's the first major European customer that we have.
Right. So tell me, break up a little bit about the product itself. What is the calendar? What does it constitute? What does it list? And how many things are listed today?
Exactly. So for your listeners that have never seen it, it's fairly well known here in the United States. But for international visitors or people who haven't seen it before, go to one of our calendars. I'm really proud of our latest one for Exhibition News. So go to exhibitionnews.uk and find their global exhibitions directory at the top of their website. And then you'll be able to see it. But basically what it is it provides a database, a large database, international, that provides thousands of shows, and it's searchable by the show name, by the city, by the country, by the region of the world it's in, and by industry. So that allows people to really, it's really a good comprehensive search to go in and find events that you might be interested in. Once you find those events, then I think one of the most important aspects of the project is it provides a link to the official event website. It doesn't provide a generic information page that I provide. The people going to the calendar, and they continue to come back because it provides real and accurate information directly from the show organizer.
Right.
So that's what it provides. It's a really powerful resource for a lot of different people, anyone who's interested in the trade show industry.
So tell me, from what you just now told me, it's primarily suppliers, designers, the ancillary companies who are sort of feeding into the trade show industry who use it. Do you see attendees using it at all?
Absolutely. In fact, well, there are a lot of different types of people, and they work for different types of companies that use it for different reasons. Attendees is definitely one. Obviously, the first one is probably exhibiting companies. They know the shows that they go to, but they very often don't know smaller regional shows in their industry. They definitely don't know all of the international shows that are in their industry. Very often companies write to me on email and they say, what shows could we be going to in Asia? Or are there any shows in the UK that might be beneficial? It depends on what market they want to go into that really helps them. That's why I needed to make it a comprehensive calendar for all shows in the world, because exhibiting companies need to expand into other markets, and it's not possible to show or to know all the shows that are all over the world. And this is a great help to them.
So tell me, how many exhibitions across the world are you listing in the calendar?
Currently online, I have about 4,400.
Okay.
So thousands, but in my database, I have 8, maybe 10,000 shows. The criteria to be listed on the calendars is it must have an upcoming date and venue, location, and it must have a link to the official event website. I do that because accuracy is the absolute most important thing that we do.
Absolutely.
Because if you have a directory of shows that is outdated and old and leads to dead links, and it's of no use. In fact, it's a waste of time for anybody using the calendar. So that is one of our critical number one jobs, is to have an accurate calendar. And we don't list old events. So as soon as event passes, on the day it passes, it comes off the calendar until we get the next upcoming date. That way we're providing information that's really useful to the people using it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is the breakup between North America and the rest of the world on this 4,400, which are listed?
It's about 1,600, 1,700 in the USA. Probably another 1,400 in Europe. Not as many in Asia. We're still growing that market. India has, for instance, 250. I know there are many more shows that we need to add. But another thing that we started doing 3 years ago for Marcia and IAEE is we started adding logos, event logos, to the calendar, which I think makes it more appealing visually, but it's also shows that I won't list a logo unless I have a contact at that organizer. Can't do it. So they always have the option to opt out, and they're given that option. But I don't put a logo up until I have at least some contacts at that organizer. So they know who I am. If they have any questions or concerns, they can contact me, and I know who they are. So
fantastic. What is your sort of long-term view of this space? Because there are multiple products which are similar. They don't call themselves calendar, and they don't necessarily take off events that are over and so on. So they may be just a database. I know of a few. Where do you think is the next evolution of what you are doing? Because over the last 20 years, things have changed, starting from being US centric or North America centric. You have expanded to Europe and then to the rest of the world. And you're working on other markets, like you mentioned just now, India and other Asian countries. Anyway, there are large city-based operations like Las Vegas, there was Singapore, there was Tokyo, there is Thailand and so on. And now UAE, I'm sure you are looking at UAE very closely. Where does it go next, according to you, as a platform?
So first let me talk about who is using it. Beyond my customers that are put on their website, who is using it and why? I think is important to discuss. We already talked about the suppliers and exhibitors, but we haven't talked about the show organizers themselves, I don't believe. Show organizers are also looking at this as a way to find potential partners, to find maybe acquisition targets. They're finding they're even looking at their competition. But it's a way for show organizers to find information maybe that they didn't have access to as well. Media looks at it. What shows should we be covering in our news site, whether they're industry specific or general business media? You mentioned earlier attendees. I think attendees are probably the most important aspect of the people using the calendar. The reason I feel that way is that attendees are the lifeblood of our industry. Without attendees in the aisles, there is no show. There are no exhibitors. There's nothing. So there are millions of attendees around the world, but there are many million, many, many millions of attendees that potentially could go. They just don't necessarily know where to go. There, say a company like IBM going to CES, they, and I'm just guessing, they may bring 150 people, right? Yeah. But there are thousands of employees at IBM that would be interested in going. Would they be interested in a smaller regional show? Would they be interested in a show in another country? There are other events that they may be interested in, even vertical or horizontal events that they may be interested in as well. So I think attendees are the most critical part of the equation and the most important group that I'm promoting it to. And where's it going? So we have a lot of companies, 100 companies so far, pointing to their exhibiting companies or associations, pointing to their members. You could say, well, that's not really getting to the attendees that it really needs to get to. And that's true to the large part. Some of my customers do extremely well in SEO. So if you do some searches, for instance, search for trade show calendar on Google, and the entire first page are all my customers, which is pretty astounding. There is one customer of mine that does extremely well in SEO, and they are top of many keyword searches. And they are reaching out to attendees and everybody else who's interested just searching Google for information. But on the large part, attendees are really not targeted from my customers directly yet.
Mm.
I think it could be, though. Could you imagine if this is private labeled for the Wall Street Journal? Could you imagine the impact on our industry if this calendar is private labeled by Forbes or Financial Times or any of the other business journals that are in every city of every major city of the world? What would the impact be for our industry if we could promote ourselves that widely? That's the ultimate goal of mine. It'll take a while to get there. I could definitely use some help to get there, but that's where we're going.
Right. And trade show calendars per se, I'm not talking about your product, but I'm talking of trade show calendars per se. What do you see as the next evolution as a product?
I don't know that it needs to be that complex. What it really needs to provide is a vast and comprehensive database of shows all over the world, and there are many more that I need to add.
Right.
But honestly, it's the show organizers that are promoting their events, and they're the best ones to do it.
Right.
This is just another avenue for them to point customers, attendees, to their show. They do an excellent job in promoting their event. In fact, they won't even point people to this mass directory because they don't necessarily want to show all their competitors. So they focus their marketing efforts, as they should, on their own websites. So this is not taking the place of their marketing efforts. This is just another resource for them to help point customers to their show. And it goes directly to their official event website. So
right.
I'm not trying to sell registrations. Some calendars put a registration database on there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Maybe they're building their own visitor database off of somebody else's shows. I don't think it's quite fair, but that's what they're doing. Other things that I don't do and won't do is I won't provide exhibitor lists. Exhibit organizers are extremely important to me in the success of this project. I need their cooperation regarding logos, regarding all kinds of information. In fact, they're the largest part of my team. The fastest growing part of my team is they're sending me information directly. But to do that, I need their cooperation. I could not do that if I'm going against their interests. Meaning if I was selling exhibitor lists, which I don't and will never use, if I was building some kind of attendee or visitor database, which is their key asset in the world, I would never do that. I don't know what other calendars are doing, but that's one thing I won't do. I won't even put a hotel widget on there, because that would go against their hotel room block, wouldn't it?
Right.
Which wouldn't be favorable. I could have made some extra money on it that way. However, it wouldn't garner the cooperation from exhibit builders, which are exhibit organizers, which I need.
Sure. So tell me about what is the white labeling model that you are doing for, you know, organizers like IAE? What are they actually getting and what are they putting up on their, obviously the first thing is that it's not branded, it's their own brand. So nobody is really looking at trade show calendar, but they're looking at IAE exhibition calendar or sort of something like that, right?
When I started the calendar, I said, well, because the information is important and critical, it's accurate information. However, distribution is also equally as important. And how am I going to get this out to as many people as possible? So I came up with a strategy of white labeling it or private labeling it to get my partners to reach the audience. And it's working quite well for their specific audience. For instance, an exhibit builder is going out for exhibit manager customers, and they pump it out via their social media or email campaigns or on their website.
Right.
IAAE used it for many years and just put their, like many associations will do, they just wanted their member events listed. And that worked great form for several years. It did not provide a comprehensive calendar that was useful for visitors to go and find the information they were looking for. So 3 years ago, we started building we changed the IAEE model to provide member events and non-member events. They can put a badge up there saying this is a member, but it turned into a really comprehensive calendar that now everybody is willing to use because it's much more complete than just a member only directory. Right. And they found as we went along that it's providing them membership benefits as far as attracting new members. They're able to have conversations with current non-members and actually provide a positive benefit to their membership campaign.
Got it. How do you think AI is going to impact calendars going forward, or will it at all?
It will. I use AI a little bit. I found that it's got a long way to go. I personally have a small team of people checking information on their websites and having organizers send me information directly, because AI is, at least I have not been able to find that AI is able to match the accuracy of actual human eyeballs looking at events on a constant basis. We check shows, the closer it is to the event, we check shows monthly and even further than that. And we go out all the way to shows happening in 2028. We don't list multiple dates for the same show. Meaning if the 26th show is happening, we don't list 27 and 28 dates. Yeah. But if the next rotation of that show is happening in 2027, that's the date we will list.
Right. Makes sense. So as far as you are concerned, AI is not directly impacting your space, your area, because it still needs human interaction.
It will probably have some effect as time goes by, and AI is increasing faster and faster all the time. I still think there's going to be, I think it's going to be a valuable tool for me to do what I do better. But I don't think it will replace, I don't think you could have a set of computer loose and have it produce what we produce. I don't think that's the case. It is interesting, though, the AI conversation for the exhibition industry. Right. One article I read from Philip Swar, chairman of what company is he with? He's 19 Group and Closer Still. And he wrote several months back that a friend of his sent him a video, an AI-generated video of his friend talking. Computer did it. And Philip said the video was still a little bit choppy, but it was pretty darn close, right? Mm. And he's an exhibition professional. He said, this makes me extremely excited for the future of the exhibition industry, because videos, even AI videos, as they get really, really good, we are not going to be able to trust what we see online in newscasts and wherever, because video is getting so good. But he said the exhibitions are real. You meet a real person and look a real person in the eye and shake their hand. You might not know if what they're saying is true, but you know this is a real, actual person and not an AI-generated thing. So he said, and I hope I didn't I paraphrased his article a bit, but hope I got it right. He said that he has great, he knows that the exhibition industry will continue because AI is not really something that you can trust completely.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
One of the conversations before COVID was a hot topic was the aging of the attendee. Older people have been going to trade shows for a long time, but the younger generations are getting used to working online. Well, this COVID was an opportunity for them to see, can we really conduct business online? Can I really put in an order for Boeing jets or something without actually talking with someone and knowing who I'm dealing with? I mean, there's a lot more than just product.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. When you're looking at event technologies, and you are talking to exhibitors, you're really in contact with the entire spectrum of organizers, exhibitors, attendees. So and you have your website, so you know how people are interacting and so on. Where are the areas that you see AI is going to have impact from what you're hearing and from your conversations?
Yeah. One thing that I found interesting is going back to COVID. Stick with me. When COVID happened, many organizers went virtual. They had to experiment with virtual options because they had no live events going on. Yeah. It was an experiment that's been tried before, but this was really important because they had to stay relevant in the industry, even if shows weren't happening. So that's kind of an opportunity for virtual events and for AI, right?
Yeah.
It is, how can businesses globally continue to do what they need to do, find new markets, find new customers, and still be able to buy and purchase products. Okay, that's what they had to do during COVID. We found out that trade shows came back really quickly because at least the trade show portion of our industry does not work well virtually, especially the avatars talking to each other. I still don't get that.
Yeah.
But so virtual events, at least trade shows, did not work well. Conferences could and do. They've added conference sessions, and they're getting conference attendees from all over the world that don't necessarily have the ability to come to their show. And that's terrific. That's what they should be doing. But if it affects the actual trade show attendees that are walking the show floor, that's kind of a negative effect. Yeah. But I don't think you can replace actual physical conversation between people that need to meet. I couldn't imagine being, say, a shop owner that has 60 stores and they need to fill 6 months of inventory for garments and textiles or whatever. And I could not imagine doing that online.
Mm.
One of the conversations before COVID was a hot topic was the aging of the attendee. Older people have been going to trade shows for a long time, but the younger generations are getting used to working online.
Yeah.
Well, this COVID was an opportunity for them to see, can we really conduct business online? Can I really put in an order for Boeing jets or something without actually talking with someone and knowing who I'm dealing with? I mean, there's a lot more than just product. They need to deal with planning and shipping deliveries and all kinds of things. And I'd much rather have a person's face and name and contact information than doing stuff online.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think our exhibition industry will do fine into the future, even with AI and virtual meetings.
Can you talk of areas where you think AI will be actually useful? Because a lot of AI is hype. Let's not make any mistake about that.
Sure.
A lot of it's not really delivering, and there's enough data out there. A lot of it is getting hyped up by the companies themselves because they benefit from it, which is fine. And I mean, we'll not go into that. We're not going to, just like when we talk about tariffs, we'll not talk about the politics.
Sure.
so we'll not talk about the motivation of talking it up. But the point is that it's likely to impact certain areas. And would you have any idea in terms of when you look at it and you're talking to people, do you see exhibitors or organizers talking of, oh, I'm going to use AI or I'm already using AI in this part and it's really working very well?
One aspect for our industry is exhibit design. I speak with exhibit designers and they are playing with and experimenting with AI and throwing different queries at this computer and seeing what it produces. And it's getting better, but it often has floating staircases and double decks that should is physically not possible. And so it's got a long ways to go.
All right.
But it does point designers specifically into a direction. You throw in your basic criteria of the booth you've got and the space that you need and let it come up with some ideas. It's a great way to generate some ideas, not necessarily to come up with a finished product.
So let's talk about tariffs. I mean,
so this is not my area, but I find it interesting in the last year what tariffs have done. I don't want to get into the politics of it. It doesn't matter if it is good or bad, but what is it doing to our industry and what is it doing to global business? I find it really interesting because it is having an effect on our business. Mm-hmm. What's happening is that businesses globally are having uncertainty on what their costs are going to be. Are their costs actually rising or is there just a bunch of uncertainty about it? So what's that forcing exhibitors and trade show exhibitors and trade show attendees? What's it forcing them to do? It's forcing many of them to go and look for new suppliers.
Hmm.
And we've seen the effects on the industry, at least in the United States. We've seen the amount of international visitors going down at many of the big shows that used to count on the international visitors. Well, that's an effect. But what are these visitors that are not coming actually doing? They're not throwing up their hands and giving up. They're going to find new suppliers, perhaps in new countries. And what's the best way to find a new supplier for any manufacturer or whatever? The best way is to go to a trade show. And so they're looking for, and I've had conversations via text or even one on a Zoom call. Had conversations, people looking for new suppliers in new countries, pulling out of shows. Maybe they're pulling out of their U.S. shows and they're going to shows in Asia. That's a dramatic effect on our industry that we're seeing in real time, which is pretty fascinating. It'll have both good and bad effects, but it's really interesting to see.
What could be the good effects of this?
Well, a lot of so before COVID, it was all about globalization. That was the big buzzword, right?
Yeah.
I don't hear that much about globalization anymore. In fact, I hear nearshoring or even onshoring. There was an onshoring event in Dallas last year. And so if you want manufacturing, if you're a U.S. politician and you want manufacturing to come back to the United States, maybe, and I'm talking out of my league because I'm not into politics or anything, but is that a potential motivation for tariffs? It is. That could be good in some people's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the jury is still out and we'll have to wait for a year or so to really figure out, because this year is when it really played out and multiple things are still happening. It's still not settled. It's not that it's done and over and we know what's going on. So no. I think it's early days.
But the real world effects, I've spoken with an exhibitor that pulled out, a U.S. exhibitor that pulled out of all his U.S. shows and is now going to Europe. I said, U.S. is a little too shaky for him and he's going to search for business in Europe.
Right.
I've heard also attendee statistics from Asia. Some of the Asian shows are really doing well this year. And you can guess at why that is, but perhaps some of it is because they're not coming to the U.S. for suppliers.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously it's a multipolar world in terms of markets. So, I mean, which is why you see, like we were discussing, the rise of a place like Dubai, which is sort of the gateway to Middle East and Africa. A lot of growth in India. I know you are coming here next March and it's in May. And it's a shame that we'll miss each other because I'll be in the UK at that time.
I'm really excited. This will be my first trip to India. I'm going to the IEIA?
Right.
Open seminar in May in New Delhi. I'm really excited to meet the show organizers of India. This is going to be quite a trip. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, we'll miss you.
I was there this year.
Okay.
I was there this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Suraj Dhawan, who is the president of IEIA, he was one of my guests a few.
I watched that podcast. You've had a lot of great presenters on your show.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, India is an interesting market. It's evolving. We have got some really world-class venues here, which have come up over the last few years. So, I mean, it's a good place for you to. But obviously, it's not comparable to what's happening in the large cities at this point. I mean, it might take some time to get there, but there's a lot that is happening. There are a lot of organizers, very smart people doing very interesting shows. So, I think I'm sure you'll have a good time.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com. www.homeforconversations.com.
How do you think about 2026? What are the priorities for the industry, for your product? What is it? So I really want to talk short term because, I mean, it's easy to talk about what will happen 5 years from now.
Sure.
Difficult to talk about that. So let's be close home and talk about next year. What are your thoughts?
I'm really optimistic about the continued growth of the exhibition industry. And I'm saying regrowth because COVID pretty much stopped all of us.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time to come back, especially for Asia events. And it's taken a couple, 2-3 years of rebuilding to rebuild our industry. Prior to COVID, I had maybe 3,500 U.S. shows a year. Hmm. That's dropped to less than 2,000. So that has still had a dramatic effect. Many shows closed and or went virtual. And they have, some of them have not come back. They're the smaller shows, perhaps. There are some big ones, but many of them are smaller, maybe association shows. Maybe the show wasn't that strong in the first place. But we lost several shows that have yet to come back. Is that an opportunity for other organizers to come in and fill a vacuum that now exists? I think that's the case. I think more and more shows will be launched. And for the calendar specifically, I still have quite a long ways to go. There are hundreds of shows in India, for instance, that are not yet on the calendar. They will be. Hmm. There are still some smaller and medium-sized shows in the U.S. that are still not on the calendar, but they will be. So as I add to my team, I'm still looking to build a few positions to help me on the research. I've got a few researchers already in different parts of the world. I've got a graphic designer and a web designer and it's really promising for the new customers that are coming online that are going to use the calendar within their websites. It would be great to start working with media, the general business media. Forbes and Wall Street Journal may be a ways off yet. And it's hard to work. I'm not from those industries, from the media industry. So it's hard to get the introductions to the players right. in that world. But that's where we want to go.
Right.
And I think the impact to our industry will be huge when we start getting into those worlds and promoting it to attendees on a massive wide scale.
Well, Vince, Battaglia, thank you for coming on the show. It was great chatting, and I would look forward to following your story. It has been 3 decades in the making, and it's definitely a unique perspective, if I may put it that way.
Thank you very much. Yes.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast
and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.